Hey there, I'm Christine.
And I'm Stephanie.
And welcome to the Incremental Steps podcast.
We're a couple of smart, curious women trying to strike a balance between career, family, and self-care while striving to leave the planet better off than the way we found it.
We're learning that we can't do it alone, like most things. We need each other, all of us. So every couple of weeks, we're going to check in for support in these difficult times and challenge each other to find new ways to leave a lighter footprint. Hey, Stephanie.
Hey, Christine. How are you doing?
I am well. How are you?
I think I'm fine.
I wish y'all could see her face. Her face is not saying that. Well, let's start out this week like we do every week using the interplay tool of I Could Talk About, where we go back and forth, and just the first thing that pops into our brains, we say what we could talk about, but we don't tell the whole story.
Okay. All right. I could talk about... not even wanting to look at the news anymore.
I could talk about finally getting outside in the sunshine yesterday and planting the rest of my bulbs.
Okay. I could talk about taking a hike.
I could talk about, I am guessing that my vitamin D has been really low because of all the gray we've had the last 2 weeks, and I just caught myself in a big old funk.
Interesting. Let's see, I could talk about getting ready for spring and preparing the garden too.
I could talk about the coronavirus. I know you could too, but I could talk about how it is already having a major impact in my life and I want to throw a tantrum. I may have to tell you more about that. But.
I think we're going to end up talking about that. Let's see, I could talk about being disappointed with environmentally friendly products.
Oh, I could talk about ordering the laundry sheets like I promised I'd do last week and them still not being here.
That might be the story. okay, I could talk about feeling empowered by making remedies at home.
Oh, some of your herbal remedies.
Yeah. Okay. That helps me keep me grounded.
Okay. I could talk about doing some deep cleaning around my house.
All right, well, that sounds like we've got some things to talk about.
We definitely have some things to talk about. So out of that list, what do you want to say more about?
I want to talk about the challenge that I had.
Okay, absolutely.
So I had a challenge. I was going to use bar shampoo, and I have to say...
Oh, tell me.
I have to say I was very, I'm a little hair proud. Okay. I think that's one of my better features, and I don't like it to be funky.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah, So I ordered a bar shampoo online. It was called, the brand is The Right to Shower, and they give a bar of soap to, it's like, it can be used as soap or as shampoo, and they give it to homeless people so that they can shower.
Nice.
So it's nice.
Oh,
yeah,
it's
a nice cause. The first time I used it, it was fine. I mean, I think my hair, it felt a little odd, but it seemed thicker.
Okay.
The second time, I had a lot of body, but it definitely felt waxy. And the third time, I was like, nope.
Now, it's a good thing to notice. Now, how often do you shampoo your hair usually?
I usually do it not any more often than every other day.
Okay.
I don't shampoo every day.
Right. That's not healthy for your hair.
No, it's really not. So. And I have very sensitive skin, too.
Okay.
So the third time my hair felt like a candle, and I was just, I cannot go to work this way. I did a thing where you try to see, like, does it look as bad as it feels like it looks?
I know that feeling.
And I really thought it did, so I was like, okay. So I used a clarifying shampoo and I washed it out.
Okay.
But I have used it since then. I think it's something, I actually got my hair cut this week.
So by the way, I was going to say, your hair looks really good.
Thank
so
you.
Tell me, did you use the product before you came today, or is this a different product?
No, I haven't. Okay. Yeah, no, I just used regular shampoo. I went to the salon, and it was, I'm not going to give the brand, but it's a company that... It's a brand
well-known.
Of products. Well-known. Yeah. Yes, and they're known for being environmentally conscious. And I asked the lady if she could tell that my hair, I was like, here's the deal. I'm doing this challenge for a podcast, and I have this bar shampoo. And she's like, yeah, it's fine. You should probably think about using an apple cider vinegar rinse. And, you know, maybe use it a couple times and then use the rinse and kind of go that way if that's what you're going to do. So, I had already read that, and I thought it was interesting that she was willing to give that feedback instead of trying to sell me on a bunch of products. So,
Very nice.
I'm willing to give it another go.
Okay.
And I'm willing to see what the whole apple cider vinegar rinse thing is like. If I end up walking around like I smell like a salad, I'm not going to keep doing it.
I took some apple cider vinegar this morning. I always forget what it's good for. You can tell me as an herbalist, but I had some really good organic, and I was cleaning out my fridge, and I'm like, oh, I'm going to take a swig of that. Woo! I forgot, like, how, like, you know, people, when you're used to doing it, like, I used to do it on a regular basis, and I would put it in a little bit of water and
just
drink it down.
Just by itself, just drink it?
I just took a little, like, probably about a tablespoon.
I know a lot of people do that. That seems really harsh to me.
Right. It was a little harsh this morning, I have to tell you, but, you know, I feel good. I have energy today. I don't know if that's just because of what's going on, but, you know, I need to look it up. I know a lot of people that swear by it.
I made fire cider, which is like a... It's cider and honey, but also you put all this like horseradish and ginger and onions and garlic and all this stuff in it, and you let it set for a month or so. So I have it in my fridge, and I hadn't been using it, and I just put down a self-care this month that I was going to have a little bit of that every day. Because
And is that like a boost to your immune system?
Yeah, it's supposed to be, well, it's warming, and it's supposed to be good for your immune system, really perk it up. So
All right, we should probably talk about that.
Garlic and ginger, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I know that is one of your superpowers, being an herbalist and knowing what helps boost our immune system, which we probably should have that conversation with the,
let's talk about that a little
the
bit.
Bigger news that's going on in our world and in our country. And do we want to talk about identify the problem first, or do we, what do you
want
to...
Let's go. I need to be linear. So okay. let's just go through
I'm
the...
I'm leaping, yes, and you need the incremental step.
Yes,
okay.
I do.
So go back.
Okay, so bar shampoo. So I have a mixed review of that. Like, I would say you can't go... It can't be your everyday, all the time.
Go to.
It's no. You're just going to end up with a head full of wax.
Right, okay.
Okay, so I
Unless
also
that's your goal. If that's your goal, okay.
If you have a hair type where that's working for you, go you. That would be great.
I have to tell you, I was a little nervous about that challenge for you because I was not signing up for that one. Because I have, like, my favorite brand of shampoo I've used for years. It works great on my hair. And I was like, oh, don't make me do that.
Yeah, no, I was nervous about it, too. That was definitely stepping outside my comfort zone.
But
it is a lot of bottles of stuff.
We need to
figure out a way around.
I agree.
Okay, so the dish tab. So I bought... Okay, so I had used the drops for the clothes, and that worked out well.
Right.
And so I was going to use the same thing again for using the dishwasher. And I went to order it on Amazon, and there was a cheaper... brand that was that promised the same thing, and it was called eCover, and I was like, well, I'll go with the cheapest, I'll go with the most affordable option first. So I got a little cardboard box that came in the mail that had it in there, and then I opened it up, and it was like 20 individually plastic wrapped tablets.
No
every time I wash my dishes now I have to tear it open.
I quit using a brand of dishwashing tablets because they were packaged that way.
Yeah, so that got a thumbs down for me. I have a little container that the little packets go in.
Okay.
So I don't see an advantage to actually ordering something like drops when I can just go to the grocery store and get a refill of that container and have the same product in it.
Right. And so you're not getting extra plastic.
That's kind of a neutral. I guess just the little bag that it comes in or whatever. But I don't know if there's an advantage to having, like, going after one that's sulfate-free and all that stuff.
We had talked about do-it-yourself and making your own, which I've never really explored making my own dishwashing tablets.
I've never done that with dishes. I've done it with laundry, too.
So that's... Maybe we should explore that a little and see if that's even an option.
I always wonder, is it better for the environment to hand wash than use a dishwasher?
Oh, girl, don't even be throwing that challenge out there. I grew up on a small farm. I was the dishwasher. Like, right. I didn't get a dishwasher until the house before this one. So, I don't know. Especially, maybe once my kids grow up and I think that's one of those things when we talk about what's realistic and not realistic when you have kids and you're running a household.
I'm going to say this. As long as my dishwasher works, I am using it. Right? Because we had it not working for a long period of time.
Right.
And my kids were supposed to do the dishes, and I literally, like, had a nervous breakdown over them one time because I was just like, I'm working really long hours, and I'm trying to do these other things, and I'm really trying to make things make a difference in the world, and I can't.
And you can't function when your kitchen's not clean.
I need the dishwasher.
Right. And there's high energy efficient dishwashers nowadays too. I mean, that might be something to look at. Like if you're upgrading your dishwasher.
That's a significant investment. But
But I mean, looking at it and not running the dishwasher if it's not full or, you know, things like that. Well, and the other thing you could do, I'm just thinking off the box right now. We didn't talk about this, but you know, not heat drying it. Like, letting them air dry. Like, there's ways you could probably be more efficient even with a dishwasher.
I will say that is a seasonal thing because...
Oh, that's true.
I don't... Like, my daughter and my husband just had colds. When all this coronavirus stuff was coming up, they both had, like, really bad colds and sinus infections, and I was using the heat.
Well, that makes sense. Like, it's a good sanitizing.
Right.
That's a good thing to talk about. All right.
Okay, so my challenge next time... is I'm going to try putting apple cider vinegar in my hair and see what happens. I don't know how I feel about that.
She's taking one for the team, y'all.
That's right. And also, it's Lent. We're in Lent now. We had Mardi Gras this week.
Mardi Gras on Ash Wednesday last week.
I don't celebrate Lent, and I don't really celebrate Easter, but I am going to give up. So I just have been feeling really convicted about my love of nail polish.
Right.
It is really a form of expression for me. I don't have any tattoos. I don't have any weird hair colors.
Can we say yet?
Yes, you can say yet. Okay. It is on my list of things to do this year.
Okay, good.
So, it is my little form of funky self-expression. I like to use weird colors. But I'm giving it up for Lent because I do feel like it's a little hypocritical for us to be talking about ways to save on plastic when I'm putting plastic on my fingers all the time. So
nail polish is plastic.
Well, it's acrylic. That's a form of plastic. It's laminates.
I had never really thought about that. I'm not a huge nail person. Definitely not. Like, I like to wear purple on my toes, especially during the summer, but it's winter. So, you know, I haven't probably put polish on in a couple of months. But I haven't ever really thought about that. You know what I use nail polish more for?
Stop and runs and hose?
No. Oh, that's a good one. I don't wear hose anymore.
Chiggers?
Chiggers, because we both grew up in Texas. You used to use clear nail polish for chiggers. Absolutely. There's some arts and crafts that I use it for.
Clear
glass carbones that you can paint on the back of them, and you make really cool, like, dragon's eyes necklaces, and it looks like the universe, and that's what I've used nail polish for lately. I hadn't even thought about the environmental impact of nail polish.
Well, plus it's a whole bunch of little bottles.
Yeah, they're glass, but yeah, I hear you.
Well, I mean, glass hangs around for 1,000 years.
It does. Unless we recycle it. But
then
all the cutting.
Nail polish. You can't recycle that.
Okay. Y'all, this podcast, it's a good, it's an eye-opener. Like, I hadn't even thought about nail polish, ever. I mean, I don't use it all the time.
I have so many bottles of it that I'm like, I really shouldn't be doing this.
Like a crisis of conscience over nail polish. Yes. Huh. All right.
So I'm giving
I love... Okay, so you're giving it up for 40 days.
That's right.
All right.
I'm going to revisit Lynn because I also have brittle little nails. And if I can't function, then I may go back.
Well, and it could be, you know, when we talk about incremental steps and we talk about, like, maybe it's moderation. Maybe it's not a complete give up after this. Maybe it's you pick one color or, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely feel that way about the shampoo. Like, I don't think I can give up shampoo entirely, but I do think I could use it less if I use that bar shampoo sometimes.
Intermittently.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and the other thing, like, I've done with my brand of shampoo is I've gotten the biggest container I can get, so I'm not going through little bottles. Like, I buy it more in bulk. And I don't know if there's a way to refill it without the containers. I need to look at that and ask. And maybe what we do is start asking the companies for that.
Yeah.
Like, saying, I'd like to refill without all the packaging.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Or at least have a one or two container that it's in so that you can definitely recycle.
And... Right? Absolutely. Absolutely. That's a good thing to think about. Okay, are we down your list of products?
Yeah, I'm done with figuring out the stuff. So what was your stuff experience?
All right, so my stuff experience was, I was tasked with ordering the laundry detergent sheets
right.
that we had talked about. That, you know, the Facebook target marketing keeps popping in both of our feeds.
They just melt in the laundry.
Right, it's supposed to. And it's supposed to come in a little package. And so as soon as we were done last week, I ordered it because I felt bad because I'd forgotten to order it before. And so I ordered it. It's still not here. Now, I'm curious because I got this weird email about a package coming from Canada and I didn't pay attention when I ordered it, which is something else to think about, right? Like, it's something environment, like, I don't know, like, there's so many things,
well,
right?
So is it stuck, like, at a post office now or what?
No,
what
I think it was just clearing customs.
Okay.
So, because it looked like a customs notice, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then it's like, okay, if we're flying it in from Canada... Like, what's the trade-off of that? I don't know the answer to that question.
Is there a more local way
locally
of
sourced
doing
or
that?
Can we make it, right?
Can you make it?
Once we get it here and we look at it. But what I'm guessing is it's detergent dehydrated because you're just supposed to take a little.
So are you considering putting detergent in a dehydrator and just seeing if you can
know.
Make a sheet?
I don't know. I mean, you could
Ooh.
Just, you know what you could do is just put it in the oven on very low, like we used to the old ways of dehydrating, make your whole house smell like soap. But I don't know. I'm going to wait till it gets here to kind of see. But it did make me question, all right, if it's been 2 weeks and it isn't here, it's coming from far, like mm-hmm. that whole locally sourced thing I really do believe in, if at all possible. And so it just made me think, like, where's it coming from? And I need to start asking those questions before I just click on go for it on the internet. Because my really cool drum that we talked about like two sessions ago is still not here. And I have a feeling that one's probably coming from overseas is what
wow.
my guess is.
Yeah.
And I just realized I've been a little bit unconscious about that. Like, I've been unconscious about where things coming from.
Well, and I mean, also... Segueing into our next topic, if you ordered it and it's in China, good
it may
luck.
Not be coming, right?
Yeah.
It may not be coming. Or it could be sitting on a dock somewhere. Yeah, I don't know. So do we want to dive into the topic of the coronavirus?
Sure, let's do it.
Okay. All right. You know, we're from Texas. So when we think corona, it usually brings up happy spring break memories from our childhood.
That's right.
With a
at
little bit of limes,
hood.
Limes and beach, and yeah, we should say college.
50 cents.
We weren't drinking in high school. So yeah, this is being recorded. we'll go with that story.
It doesn't hold up in a court of law,
right?
We're not under oath.
So all right. So let's talk about this COVID-19 situation
that has been
really unfolding over the last 2 weeks since the last time we talked. We are here near Atlanta, Georgia. So we are near the CDC, the Center for Disease Control. We have friends and family that work in and out of there. And so it's kind of near and dear to our hearts.
I feel like this is a conversation that started 3 years ago.
Right.
Because when they first started cutting funding for the
yep.
CDC, it had a real impact here in Atlanta. There were people who lost
it
their
did.
Jobs.
One of my dear friends is now in Washington. That,
right,
that is probably one of the smartest women I know that used to work at the CDC.
So I was outraged
mm-hmm.
by this then.
Okay.
Just the idea that you would cut funding to something that is
vital.
That is so vital. And
I don't know that everybody knows how vital it is. Like, if you, because you know, you never know what to trust on the news anymore, or you never know what to trust about who's saying what. But we know actual people that work there. We know their roles. We know what they do. And it is vital to the health of our nation.
Well, it's right there in the title, is it not?
Right?
It's the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Like, right? And who wants... We're going to just... Okay, first of all, I'm going to set aside... I'm going to stick a pin in the anti-vaxxer movement. I'm just going to stick a pin in it. And I'm going to leave it on a little bulletin board. Okay. And I'm not going to talk about it.
Okay.
That aside... There is a whole lot of science.
Yep. I believe in science.
That says that you want to be able to track and maintain nowhere. I guess the paranoia maybe comes into the idea that we're somehow manufacturing, like it's some kind of germ warfare thing.
Oh, my gosh,
I think
gosh,
that's where
no.
the conspiracy yeah. stuff so, comes from.
It is so, people, it's so interesting. But here's what we know the facts are, right? We know the facts are that this is a virus that transmitted from animals to humans. Origin point was in China. Because we live in a global society now, it has spread. And they have been preparing, and they, I mean the CDC and people that we know, have been preparing for this scenario for years. Now, unfortunately... Right now, it kind of feels like one hand is tied behind their back, one hand, one leg, and between the funding and the support and all that. But I will have to say some of the smartest people I know have worked on this or are currently working on this. So that brings me a little comfort. Mm-hmm. But I can tell you it's already impacting my life. Like, it is already... So... I don't know if we've... Have we talked about my twins on this podcast before?
The nibblings?
My nibblings?
I don't know.
I have 7-month-old, amazingly adorable, brilliant nephews that live in Boulder, Colorado. And they were scheduled to be here in about 2 weeks. And my sister called me this week and she's like, hey, I know that it's probably... not a huge threat, but the babies have been sick for a couple of weeks because they just started daycare, so they're building their immune systems. You know how that goes. Mm-hmm. And she said, I just don't want to take the risk. I don't. And she said, and I said, I hear you. You know, they're not as much danger as our mother is, because my mom is in her 70s, which is just weird to me to even say that, but she is. And, you know, she's actually in more danger with the demographic for who this is affecting than the twins are. But she reached out to somebody that is on the pandemic team that is a friend of hers, and they basically said at this point, if you've had your flu shot and you take precautions, which, you know, washing your hands, you know, covering your, like, trying not to be in crazy crowded places, you should be in pretty good shape, unless you have a compromised immune system. So, I mean, I don't think they're going to come. I'm really sad about that. I totally understand it and get it, but I'm really sad. Also, Sammy, my senior, has a trip that is already planned and paid for, by the way, with the educational EFT tours, the tours that take school groups overseas. She's got one planned for the end of this month for spring break with her orchestra, right?
Oh, man.
Right? Well, they're already looking. They're already looking at changing their destination. I don't know if they will cancel it completely. I think they're waiting to see how things, but we're getting notices about it.
Are they going to be going to Italy?
I think originally that was the plan. That's going to be changing.
Yeah. Nope.
So, because that's already a level 3. So if folks don't know, you can go to the cdc.gov website and you can see like about travel information and what you should know and preparing individuals and communities. So you said when we talked before we got online, Stephanie, that CDC is saying that we should prepare to be at home for 2 weeks?
Yep, that's what they said. They said, we think this might be bad.
Okay.
We're telling you, you should be prepared for the possibility of being at home for 2 weeks.
Okay.
So what they're really saying is, we think it's going to be bad somewhere, but we don't know where.
Right.
But wherever it is bad, we're going to have to quarantine people.
Well, this is what I'm on their website right now. And it says, currently a vaccine is not available for COVID-19. Right. And until a vaccine is developed, community-based interventions such as school dismissals, event cancellations, social distancing, and creating employee plans to work remotely can help slow the spread of COVID-19. Individuals can practice everyday prevention measures like frequent hand washing, staying home when sick, covering coughs and sneezes. Click below to learn about the steps to take. Da-da-da-da-da. At home, since that's what we talk about often. Well, there's actually a guide you can download. There we go. Like
how to wash your hands?
It just says interim guide is based on what currently known.
Yeah.
Household members plan.
Okay, so here's what they said today.
Okay, tell me.
Okay, so today they've said the case that's in Seattle.
Yeah. The one that died, the first one, or no?
Did they die or they just diagnosed?
Well, I know the first person died.
Yeah, that was Seattle.
Okay.
So they're now saying that that person was probably infected for a while, and they think it may result in as many as 1,500 cases.
Holy guacamole, Batman.
And we had the first case in Rhode Island.
Oh, wow.
Today.
Okay. So it skipped across the country already. Because, like, when you used to look at the map, it was all on the West Coast, which really surprised me because, you know, here in Atlanta, we have one of the busiest, most international airports, but we were not showing anything.
Oh, there are a lot more flights from China that go into the West Coast first than the East Coast, though. Okay.
Very interesting.
So, it's not that it's not that there's cause for mass panic. It's not, people like to compare it to the Spanish flu, where we had a lot less in place to deal with this, but a much smaller population. But we also had a bunch of doughboys going back from World War I that just spread it everywhere really, really fast.
Mm-hmm.
I will say, though, that we had a lot fewer people then. And we had a lot less travel then, so...
Right, that's the issue. Which, I was listening to NPR this week, and they said, actually, airplane travel is a lot safer than other places you could be. Because the air on the airplane, which this dispelled a myth for me. I was really excited to know this, because I travel a lot on airplanes. The air on the airplane is recycled through filters like they use at the hospital. So, really? Like, yeah, that's what they said. Yeah. Now, they did say you are still in that's the thing. Like, you want to take a bleach wipe or whatever, but you're still in an enclosed place close to people, right?
Right.
Now, what they did say also is if you are having to travel and you're sitting next to somebody who appears to be sick, you can talk to the stewardess and they can move you. Like.
Can they?
They can. I didn't even know that was a thing.
If
it's not a full flight. I mean, that's the thing. But if somebody is sick, like, I didn't even know, you know, I was raised being polite and not really always speaking up for what you need.
Oh, yeah, no, I don't have any problem doing it if it's not a full flight.
Right?
Pardon me. this Petri dish over here, right? I need less.
Absolutely. So, on this website, it says, create a household plan of action. Talk with people who need to be included with your plan. Okay. Household members, other relatives, and friends, in case an outbreak occurs in your community, and what needs each person will be. Plan ways to care for those who might be at greater risk for serious complications. And my understanding is that is people with compromised immune systems and the elderly.
So it also affected, I've been trying to figure out a way to go up to D.C. to see a good friend of mine from high school, but she does have a compromised immune system. And actually, that's why I wanted to go see her. She's getting treatment, and I wanted to go, you know, be with her while she was doing that. But so far, can't make that happen. The risk is too great.
It says, get to know your neighbors. That's interesting.
Sure.
It says, talk with your neighbors about emergency planning. If your neighborhood has a website or social media page, consider joining it to maintain access to neighbors' information and resources. Okay, that makes me chuckle a little, because if any of y'all have ever been on my next-door neighbor, like, okay, I don't know.
Gaping maw of crazy.
Right? That may... I'm going to stick with the neighbors I personally know with it.
I feel like, what are you trying to prevent there? Are you hoping that we don't all form militias while this is going on?
I don't know. Like, Identify aid organizations in your community. This is a good one. I think that should happen anyways, right? Create a list of organizations that you and your household can contact in the event you need access to information, healthcare services, support, and resources. Consider including organizations that provide mental health or counseling services, food, and other supplies. You know, my little social worker heart just loves that idea. Like,
yeah. Well, yeah, if you can leave your house, that's fine.
Right. I mean, the good thing is you've got the internet. And you've got, I mean, I will say even nowadays, like, doctors and therapists are available by the internet if you need it.
Yeah, or phone.
Yeah.
Or
so like, the biggest concern is, like, that things may be shut down. I know that's starting to happen in Japan and starting to happen in other places where they're closing schools for a while. And they're, you know, telling people to stay home. Create an emergency contact list. Ensure your household has a current list of emergency contacts for family, friends, neighbors, carpool, drivers, healthcare, da 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 da. So it's getting organized, which is not always my strong suit, I will have to say. But practice everyday prevention actions now. I like this proactiveness, which this one I've always tried to practice, and our society really doesn't support this one. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. So,
yeah, I mean, yeah. Absolutely. That happens in my office all the time. The owner of the business gets really upset if anybody makes her sick, but she will not go home.
If she's sick?
If she's sick.
Right. Well, and it's that whole thing, like, not that my children had an issue with this, but the whole perfect attendance thing. Like, kids coming to school when you're sick.
Yeah, where our kids went to high school, every year they have a big, like, an awards banquet or awards ceremony at the end of the year, and they always have one or two people who have made it all the way through the entire school system and graduated without ever missing a day of school, and I'm like, you're the one. You are patient zero.
Yep, it says stay home when you're sick except to get medical care. You know, you want to go out and get medical care. Cover your coughs and sneezes with it. I mean, it's basic stuff, right?
Right.
Clean frequently touched surfaces and objects. Using regular household detergent and water. Disinfect.
I will add to that just, you know, just on a herbalist level. I really like commercially purchased elderberry zinc lozenges.
Ooh.
I know. I guess there's like zinc is harder to find these days. I don't know if it's been dispelled somehow, but I think it's great.
Oh no! I was listening. It's fabulous.
Yeah.
I believe in it, and in fact, I think I'm almost out. I need to get some new supplies.
I think that's a good thing to have on hand, just because I think it does kill viruses well. Especially, I really like the lozenges because I think if you're coating your throat with it and something is dripping down into your throat, mm-hmm. it really just seems to do a good job of keeping that from becoming something more serious. There's also elderberry syrup, and I can put up some, a couple, well, we'll talk about the one you like. I make this thing that's like, lemon juice and ginger.
Oh, I love that
one. And it's just this concentrated stuff that you add water to, or I guess you don't have to add water to it.
It makes me feel instantly better.
It is like drinking sunshine.
It really is. Well, and especially when you have a friend drop it off when you're not feeling good. Like, I think that may be the best part about it. But, yeah, like, I have some of your elderberry syrup in my fridge, which last week I wasn't feeling that great for a day or two. And I just took a little bit and felt great. Like, I was like, all right, this is good.
The bottle I gave you at Christmas time?
Is that what it was? I don't know when you gave it
to me. That's alcohol.
No, not that one. But okay. Yes, I should drink that one too. No, it's another one. It's a little pint.
I gave you some and just elderberry.
Yeah,
okay, that might not be good, but
it smelled good.
It seemed right.
Right. I don't know if it's a what's it called when it's a placebo effect or not. I don't think so, but
it's probably fine if you keep it in the fridge all the time.
It has been. It's been in the fridge.
I mean, I think technically they say something like it lasts 6 weeks, but that's just because they don't want to.
Oh, I've had that one longer than 6 weeks.
Again, that's a precautionary thing that people say when they're creating a recipe because they're not a large corporation. Right. They don't want to be sued. But
now, your sunshine stuff did not last that long because I blew through that stuff. It was really good. It was honey and ginger and lemon.
I've got some of that in this water I'm drinking right now. Yeah.
Okay. So will you put that recipe up online for us?
I will, but yeah, it's just water and ginger and lemon juice. That's all it is.
I thought there was honey in it too.
I don't remember. I don't think so.
Okay. I don't know. It was really great. Okay, we'll put that up on Facebook and Instagram.
If you're buying ginger anyway to make that, I have a recipe for garlic ginger soup that is It's ginger and garlic. It uses 52 cloves of garlic.
Holy guacamole, Batman.
If that doesn't kill whatever's ailing yet, I don't even know what to tell you.
Right? So it's garlic, ginger. What else is in there?
There's like onions in there. I mean, it's like a soup. It's got a little thyme for flavor, and you have like coconut milk, I think, is the base.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, put that recipe up. And can you put chicken in it, or is it vegetarian, or...
Well, as is, it's vegetarian, but sure, you can put whatever you want to in it, I guess.
Right? I may need to break that
one. It has kind of a consistency of like a potato soup.
Oh, yum. Well, you could totally do that. The coconut milk is what made me think about it from my favorite Thai restaurant where it's got the chicken in the coconut milk.
Yeah, it's got kind of that vibe.
That's what I was thinking. Okay. Because that's a lot of garlic.
Yeah, it's really a lot of garlic. It is not messing around.
All right.
I made it last week when, again, my husband and my daughter were sick and forced them to drink at least a cup of it. And I think that's all they had. They were both like, it's wow. Although, one of them couldn't even taste it. I'm like, you're really sick if you cannot taste this.
Right? Well, that's a good thing to notice. If your nose is that stopped up, eat that too.
Yeah, exactly. So those are some things that, I mean, again, I feel better knowing that there's some kind of thing that I've got in the house that can help. So,
right.
That helps me.
Well, and you and I, before we got online, we were talking about, like, what's the recommendation? And I was looking up on FEMA's website. They say we need to have 3 days. We need to plan for 3 days for natural disasters anyways. And then you're saying the CDC is saying plan for 2 weeks at home. Like, I mean... Imagine, like, if we couldn't go to the grocery store, if we couldn't, right. You know, what needs to, kind of like snow days, and you need more than white bread and,
Right, this is not a beer run, and you do need more than milk and bread. Yeah,
right?
you need stuff that you can water. Cook easily.
Well, and we were talking about the fact that, you know, we're both campers and hikers, so a lot of the supplies we have in our camping supply, like, you know, things that you might need in case of an emergency.
Yeah, I think it's a good idea to have on hand water purification tablets, just on account of you never know.
Yeah.
I went a little overboard possibly this time. I really was like, well, if I just, here's my level. Okay, I have a couple things I don't have a level of confidence with. I don't have a level of confidence with the person who's in charge of dealing with this disaster. I am not cool with that.
I agree.
I also feel like, we have put a muzzle on the CDC to a large degree.
And the scientists. Oh, yeah.
And if they're willing to say out loud and publicly that we should expect that we might be home for a couple weeks... They might mean a couple months. They might be winking out SOS at us.
I didn't watch the news conference to see about if they were winking SOS. So,
So I took that kind of to heart.
I will have to say my person who used to work there that I touch base with anytime something like this is going on, because she makes me feel better, said that she, and this was a couple of weeks ago, she had laid in supplies of hand sanitizer and mask, and there was something else she told me she laid in, but I remember the hand sanitizer and the mask for sure. But you were saying we shouldn't be buying masks right now.
Well, that's what they're saying. They're saying please don't do that because our medical, like, I think we're dwindling the supply to a point. And now it's like,
well, it's worldwide.
Well, and people are paying any price to have a mask.
And that's silly.
That doesn't really do it. It doesn't accomplish anything.
Well, that's the other thing I was reading about, is what it does is it helps sneezes and coughs not spread if you have them.
If
it doesn't.
If you are sick.
If you are sick.
It helps you keep you from spreading it to other people. It does not help you, a well person, keep from getting the disease.
Right.
And so I think they're also concerned about a false sense of security if you walk around.
Sure. It's called security theater.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So, I don't know. I don't think it's bad to have a stash of
stuff
set
aside just in
case.
Well, and I want to be really clear. Like, I am not afraid for you and I. Like, if we were to get
personally getting sick.
If we were personally to get it.
Yeah, I think worst case, it would just be a bad case of the flu.
Right? And we wouldn't feel great. But it's people like the babies. It's people like our elderly, people that we know and love. It is, you know, people with compromised immune systems.
Well,
I think.
It's also people with compromised respiratory systems. And I'm going to make that distinction because I have often a compromised respiratory system.
So I should be worried about you.
Well, I'm not entirely not worried about it because what happens is you get this and then you get a secondary infection. And that's what kills me all the time. Yeah. I have gotten bronchitis more times than I can count, which is a lot of the reason why I go in and make things now that I know will help me prevent me from getting sick. Yeah.
So
I feel good about it now. But,
okay, good.
But
good.
I do think if you are someone who's had respiratory infections, you are more at risk.
Okay. It's good to be paying attention. You know, the thing I'm taking out of this is organization. I know that I have, you know, I was planning on deep cleaning and organizing for the crew coming in 2 weeks, and I'm just going to keep going and find my supplies and get organized, and, you know,
Get all my camping gear together.
I mean, because also, I usually do that over the holiday break, and I didn't have a chance to do that this year because I'm recovering from that surgery. So, yeah, I want to do that anyways as spring comes and the weather warms up. So, looking at what do we got? What do we need? What resources are out there? I think that's important. But it's weird that we're thinking about this, right?
It is, because I want to say, did we mention this at all 2 weeks ago?
I don't think we did.
And now it's top of mind. So that's a fast 2 weeks.
It is huge, right? And it also, you know, I've always known on a metaphysical realm that we're interconnected. But this shows us on a physical realm how, especially with airplanes and the way the world is, that we are really interconnected.
I hope so. I hope that it opens people's minds to that idea that we can't operate in a silo as a country.
Right.
This whole...
That we're in this
American
together.
American greatness thing. Yeah, we're not just a country. We're part of an entire planet.
Yeah.
And that matters.
Yeah. It does matter. And it matters as far as, you know, the climate change and, I wanted to give you an update, and I know we're running out of time, so I better do it fast.
Okay.
So last time we talked about my freak out about the art piece, and we had a great opening. The show opened and, on March 14th, there is going to be a panel at Georgia State at the Clarkston campus. And there's going to be a panel with some experts about global climate change. And so check that out. I'll put the link to that up on our Facebook page because it's going to be, you can see the artwork, and then they've got an auditorium that they're trying to fill. We'll see, you know, with all this other, you know, holding both
sure,
in both
right,
hands.
Right.
But I think it holds 150, 200 people that they're trying to get to come out and really be aware of how interconnected we are and how our planet needs us and things we can do to make a difference. And so, yeah.
Well, good luck. I hope you're able to go. I hope they're able to do it.
Absolutely. So tell me about your challenge this week. What are you thinking?
I'm doing I'm giving up the nail polish.
Oh, okay. That's a big one.
That is a big one for me. And trying the apple cider vinegar.
Okay. And I will try the laundry detergents when they come in. And I think I'm just going to keep decluttering and recycling and really getting my stuff in order.
That's a great idea.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's good. I think I'm going to do some decluttering too.
Yeah.
I took some stuff to Goodwill today. I think I'm going to do some more of that kind of stuff.
Right. I try to go through and recycle clothes, and, you know, if I haven't been wearing them, I donate them, and I'm doing a lot of that stuff.
I did a big shoe purge.
Ooh, good.
It really bothers me, the idea, like, just shoes going into a landfill. So, So we went through, we hadn't done that in a while, and I've got a growing son, so he's got quite a few new pairs, but, so yeah, we did that. We got rid of some coats we weren't using anymore.
All right. So, nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
We're working on that too, but.
Yeah, it's that time of year, isn't it?
It is.
Spring cleaning. Well, I have so enjoyed our conversation today, my friend. And,
me too. Good to talk to you.
Absolutely, as always. And we'll get posted. You guys can find us on Facebook at Incremental Steps Podcast. You can find us on Instagram at Incremental Steps. And our website, incrementalstepspodcast.com.
Yep.
So until next time, my friends.
Absolutely.
All right. Have a good one. Bye.
Bye.
Woman feels her power. is being heard. A woman feels her power when her voice.
This has been the Incremental Steps podcast. Our theme music is A Woman Feels Her Power. Big thanks to Karen Drucker for letting us use it. Visit incrementalstepspodcast.com for all kinds of great information. We would love to hear from you.